Well, it is the top of the hour, so we are going to get started. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Global Math Department. My name is Lee Natero, and I'll be your host tonight. Tonight, we're going to be hearing from Libo Valencia about facilitating math play while building community and increasing student engagement. Would everyone please introduce themselves in the chat, telling us what you teach, where you teach, and what your Twitter handle is, if you have one. Glad to see so many people here from around the world tonight. I know we have somebody here from the Philippines tonight.
Thailand.
Island, yep. Feel free to introduce yourselves in the chat. So before I introduce our speaker, I'd like to explain how these meetings work. These meetings are recorded and are available within 24 hours after the meeting ends. To view the recording, you can use the same link you used to get here tonight. The Global Math community prides itself on being friendly and supportive. The chat room is available for topical and general conversation throughout the meeting. I'll be sure to catch your questions for the presenter to be addressed at the end of the presentation. Tonight, our speaker is Libo Valencia. Libo is a mathematics educator with 13 years of experience who lives in New York. He is a passionate teacher who strongly believes that understanding mathematics can help all students develop critical thinking and problem-solving skills that can be utilized outside the classroom. Libo is also known for his constant use of different technologies to engage his students and bring math concepts to life. He currently teaches at Horace Greeley High School in Chappaqua. I think I pronounced that right.
Chappaqua.
Chappaqua, New York. And also at SUNY Lehman College in the Bronx, New York. He's a mathematics educator, and he has taught a wide range of subjects from remedial algebra classes to upper-level calculus. Libo also holds a Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics, a Master of Arts in Pure Mathematics, and a Master of Science in Educational Leadership. And so now I'm going to turn the presentation over to Libo.
Thank you, Lee. So thank you everybody for being here and welcome to facilitating math play while building community and increasing student engagement. I am super excited to be here tonight to be presented. I'm so excited to see so many people. I'm hopeful that the ideas that are shared tonight are something that you find helpful and you can bring back to your classroom and which will ultimately benefit your students. So before we even get started, oh, my email address is there for your convenience. I am on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Mr. Valencia 24. So before we even get started talking about math play, I would like to thank everyone for being here tonight, everyone watching this at a later time. I am in New York. It is now 9:03 p.m. I know it's late. I know as teachers, we're always like, there's so many things to do. So I thank you for being here. I'm really, really hopeful that the ideas that we shared today are something that you find beneficial and somewhat inspiring to bring to your classroom so that you can facilitate some math play for your students. The fact that you're here tells me that you're trying to make a difference for your students. You're trying to do something good. So I really, really thank you for being here tonight. Okay. So I also would like to say share that some of the ideas that I'll be like sharing tonight and talking about are like I found some inspiration on like from older educators. Some of the teachers in my department at Horace Greeley High School, I work with an amazing group of human beings and who inspire me every day. I also, about like 2 years ago, I opened a Twitter account and I have connected with so many amazing educators. So I would like to thank all of them for the inspired work, the people that I work with, the people that I have connected on Twitter. This is not all of them. It was like the pictures were getting too small. I follow more people on Twitter and I am just amazed and thankful for their willingness to always like share ideas, to share resources, to like help you with a question. I feel that I have an amazing PD team of superstars available on Twitter that I can always go back for either inspiration, resources, questions that I have. So thank you everyone for your inspiring work. Okay, so in addition, Lee gave you a little bio about me. In addition to being a teacher, I'm a dad. I'm a full-time dad. I have two little girls at home. I have my 6-year-old who's in first grade, and I have a 2-year-old. The 2-year-old does whatever she wants. So I'm going to talk about my 6-year-old who's in first grade and who loves school, loves math, luckily. So right now, whether you have children or not, whether you work with young children, we're going to do a chat explosion. So if you're not familiar with the chat explosion, I'm going to ask you a question. In this case, the question is, what is one thing that young children love to do? And then we're going to do like a countdown from 5. You're going to type in your response in the chat, but you're not going to press enter. We're all going to press enter at the same time. So the question again is, what is one thing that young children love to do? So we're going to do a chat explosion in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. There you go. Yes. Play games. Feel free to share. What is one thing that young children really love to do besides not letting you sleep? Right? If you're a parent, you're like sleep deprived all the time. Play, talk. Yes. Music. Play game, explore questions, play. Tony, yes. I know Tony. Play games, play. Yes. So young children love to play. We all know this, right? It comes so natural to them to play. So as a person who is highly, highly passionate about math and teaching, I started to like get games, go on Amazon, start buying things for my daughter so we could facilitate math play at home since she was in pre-K. So I will like buy, you know, get some cards and say, all right, let's practice some addition. So she will like pick 2 random cards. They add up to 15, and then I will give her dice and say, okay, now use this 4 dice to like add up to 15, and then gave her like dice for different colors. Like, just do it again, and then let's do it again, but don't use the numbers that you previously used. So she's like excited. She's trying to like figure this out. We also got some toys where like we will play with different shapes, and I will give her like, we will do something in 2 dimensions, and I will say, Nana, you think we could make that in 3 dimensions? And then she will like try to do it and something like that. It didn't always work, but it was fun. We would start to play. We also like did math play like with like exploring shapes, exploring numbers, exploring patterns, to the point where like when I told my daughter, okay, let's play, she will ask me like, math play or play? And eventually became like a thing. We would come down to the basement and set up some math play. And she had a lot of fun. So what I noticed with my daughter is that it became like, she became really engaged, and she would like come downstairs and be like, oh, Tata, can we play with the box? Can we build this? Can we like, so she took the initiative to like, oh, let's, first it was like me setting it up for her so I could like practice addition, practice whatever I needed to practice, or like whatever I wanted her to practice. But then it became something where like she wanted to do it, until like, I noticed that she started to like ask me questions and do things. I really want to share the next story. One night, we're about to like get ready to go to bed, and then she doesn't want to go to bed, right? Like as any kid. So I'm trying to like, okay, hurry up, put on your PJ, it's time to go to bed. And then she asked me this question. She was 6 at the time. She said, Tata, what's a negative number? So now I'm a math teacher. Like, we cannot let this go. Like, nobody's going to sleep until we get to the bottom of this. So I'm like running downstairs to the basement. I'm getting like some graph paper. I'm running upstairs. My wife is like, what is happening? Like, she needs to go to sleep. I'm like, hold on, this is important. So I'm like drawing a number line. I show her 0, and then I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like, okay, like these are the numbers that you already know. So the negative numbers are on the left side. So I started doing -1, -2, -3. And then I'm showing her this like, the piece of paper, the graph piece of paper, and then she's looking at it and she says like, oh, so it's like the negative numbers are like Anakin, they're on the dark side. And I'm like, yes, that is exactly what they are. So like, obviously we both like Star Wars, right? Like everyone in this household likes Star Wars. Like, who doesn't like Star Wars? So I'm showing her this, and now we're excited, and we just happen to have the Legos. Like, no, I'm kidding. I went downstairs, I got the Legos, I went back upstairs, and now we're like putting the Legos on the number line, and we're putting Anakin, who's the chosen one. And it was just like so much fun. So like, now my daughter is like, we always like playing and doing math play in the basement, and she's like asking me questions. Of course, she got what she wanted, which was like stay up a little more and like see me excited about math. And then eventually she went back to sleep. So it was good. So here is what I noticed while playing with my daughter. So I believe that effective math play has like three main components. There is a curiosity component. We're like, oh, can we do this? Can we take this like two dimension and make it three dimensions? How many ways can we like add up to 15? So there's like a question that we want to explore. And then the next step is the exploration. So I was not telling my daughter, okay, like to get to 15, we're gonna do 0 and 15, 1 and 14, 2 and, but it was like something that she was trying to do. She's like trying to figure out the dice. And I'm just like, I'm with her, I'm trying to support her, but I'm like, she's leading the way. Which leads to the third component, which is the student, is like student driven. So it's the curiosity aspect, the exploration, where she's like trying to do something and is like student driven. So this was fantastic. Now we do it all the time. I like whenever I do something like worth sharing, I put it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, I'm playing with my daughter with this, such and such. So like this was really, really fun. So then I started thinking like math play came like very natural. It's like, it's not forced. She's enjoying it. I'm like teaching her the math that she needs to be learning. And at the same time, we're having fun. So I started to think, okay, like how can now bring this to my classroom, right? So I was teaching at the time, like, and this year I'm teaching geometry, I'm teaching pre-calc, and I'm teaching calc. So I'm trying to think, oh my goodness, I wish there was a way where I can like just like set up some facilities, some math play for my students, just like I do with my daughter. So that's how, like, for me, the idea of math play came about. It was like I was playing with my daughter, and then I was, oh my God, this is so much fun. I wish I could do it at the high school level with my students. So I started like thinking, okay, how can I make this happen? Now, I'm a teacher just like you guys. So I'm gonna be completely honest. I was worried. I was concerned. I was like, oh my God, is this gonna work? Because my daughter is 6, right? And it's my daughter. I could yell at her at home and nothing happens, right? Except I get in trouble with my wife. But I was afraid of like trying something new. I was afraid of like giving up control. Oh my God, like giving up control for a math teacher, like any teacher, is like is terrible. So giving up control and the lack of engagement. So I didn't know if like trying something new, like facilitating math play at the high school level was going to work. If giving up control of my lesson was going to work, I was like, okay, like what if they don't learn anything, right? Like what if it just like becomes fun and there's no like math behind it? What if they're not engaged? What if they think, okay, Mr. Valencia, like this is silly. This is like elementary, is not gonna work for us, because like teenagers most of the time are nice, but they could be mean sometimes, right? And then the other thing that I was worried about was like the lack of engagement. What if they think, okay, like this is not going to work? So I started with the three classes that I was teaching were geometry, pre-calc, and calc. So I decided to try something with my geometry class, just because like it was a smaller class, that it was smaller than my pre-calc and my calc classes. So I felt that, okay, like this is going to be easier, right, to try it in geometry. So we were doing right triangles, like a unit on triangles at a time. And this was actually during COVID. So like some students were, I believe like at the time we were remote. I remember we were on Zoom one day and everyone looked exhausted from Zoom. So I told my students, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. I had like a lesson ready where we're going to do multiple examples. So I told my students, all right, let's just stop for like 10 minutes. So I want you to go around your house, go outside, like walk around, take a picture of what you believe is a right triangle. We're going to then upload it to GeoGebra and then prove or disprove that is a right triangle. And that was it. I gave them, no, I didn't say like, you're going to prove that is a right triangle by doing this. No, I just told them, prove that is a right triangle. And that was it. So then like, I'm waiting there. I'm like praying that, oh my God, I hope they come back after the 10 minutes. What if they don't come back? But they all came back with pictures and then like showing the pictures. And then they're like putting it on GeoGebra. And they're like doing like, so some students use Pythagorean theorem. They did A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Some students like measure the angles within GeoGebra. Some students like on this sample used like the slope, showed that they're negative reciprocals. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is good. This is working. They were like really engaged. And this was like a standard geometry class. So they come back and they took pictures of things that they wanted me to see, or they wanted to show their classmates. So there was a component of like, they were engaged. They were connecting the math to something that they wanted to do. Now, in all honesty, they only did one example, right? The one picture that they took, but it was very meaningful. And they were like highly, highly, highly engaged. So I was like, okay, like check, that was good. Now, then we went into like a lesson on our unit of like parallelograms. So I decided to do like the same thing. I say, all right, So walk around. You know the drill. Walk around your house. Find a picture of a take a picture of a parallelogram or something that you think is a parallelogram. Upload it to GeoGebra, the GeoGebra Classic, which is extremely user-friendly. And then we'll try to see, we'll try to prove whether or not it is a parallelogram. And once again, I did, that was it. That was all the instructions. I didn't tell them, you prove that it's a parallelogram by doing, you know, ABC. It was really up to them. And then, like, I started seeing things like this. Like, the work that they were submitting was, like, beautiful. It was, like, better than the work that they do in class. So I was, like, so impressed. I was like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. This is nice. So then at this point, I was like, okay, so math play for them. And it was, like, they took pictures of, like, all kinds of things that they wanted to show. And it was fun. It was engaging. So then I'm like, okay, geometry, check. Like, now, how do I do this in pre-cal? Now, I think I saw this on Twitter. It was the Pringles Wrinkle. So I saw this on Twitter and I was it was meant to be because I saw this and then we had just done or we were doing the unit with circles. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is it. So I actually brought my students. So this was like pre-COVID, like the picture on the right. I brought my students, CVA, whatever. So I went and got some like Pringles and I brought Pringles to my students and I said, okay, we're going to make a circle today. We're going to make a circle. Then we're going to take a picture of that circle. We're going to put it on decimals and you're going to find the equation for that circle. All within like a class period. Now, I had no idea if this was going to work. Looking at the tutorial from like the Pringles, I was like, okay, I think they could do this in one class period. Looking back, it was kind of risky, but it did work. So like all the students got together and they're working, they're trying to piece it together. Of course, it takes like two or three attempts. This was pre-COVID. I got like a lot like extras because like they kept on eating them. So it was fun. It was like they worked together. They're like making their circle. I also did it last year while we were in a hybrid model. So some students, like most students were are remote at the time. So they did it. They bought the Pringles themselves and they did the circle. So like once they got the circle done, they took a picture of it. They put it on decimals and then they were able to find the equation for that particular circle. So there was like the aspect of like, okay, let's do some math play. Let's do something together, like with other classmates. And now let's put that equation, put that picture on decimals. And now let's find the picture for that particular circle. So once again, it was a blast. Students had a lot of fun. Another thing that happened was a couple of students, as they did the Pringle, it didn't actually look like a circle. It looked more like an ellipse. So they were like, oh, Mr. Valencia, when I do like my circle, it's not a good fit. So then it was like beautiful because then we were going into conic sections and then I got to do ellipses. So I was like, oh, well, let's talk about ellipses. So then like this student, like the student in this picture actually ended up doing like an ellipse equation and it was perfect. It felt natural. It wasn't like, okay, like here is an equation just because I'm showing it to you. He actually needed the equation of an ellipse to match his Pringle thing. So once again, it worked in geometry. Now I did it in pre-cal. It worked. The students are highly engaged. Not only that, but they're having fun. They are like so proud sending me these pictures. Like I wish you could see their faces, but they were like so happy sending this picture, sending them to one another. I also teach like multiple sections of like pre-cal. So like I noticed like they were like sending the pictures. Oh, look at my circle. Look. So it was beautiful. It was nice. All right. So the next step, I was like geometry check, pre-cal check. And then I was like, okay, now we have to implement this in calc. So in calc, we're doing an optimization unit. So I do all the optimization problems that you will do on the first day. And then they come back the next day. They come back. And then as they are walking into the classroom, I'm giving them a piece of paper from the printer, right? And I'm like, all right, so remember the problem that we did yesterday with the optimization? This is a classic calc problem where you cut out the corners and then you make the box with the greatest possible volume. So I'm giving them a piece of paper. I'm like, okay, let's use math to actually make a box with the greatest possible volume. And then I also showed them a GeoGebra gift from my friend Vincent. Lee is going to like put it on the chat. This is a fantastic animation where students can see how like the three things come together, like the two dimensions, like the equation, what is happening with the tangent line, and how does that affect the volume of the box. So we did this in class, and then I'm like, okay, so now you're going to build the box. So like the assignment was to like build the box with the greatest possible volume, calculate the volume, which they did. This is a sample of student work. And then I said, okay, now let's actually build it, decorate it, and take pictures of it. And like this were some of the results. And some of the students, again, this was like last year, so some of them were in class, some of them were at home, but nonetheless, the fun was the same for everybody. They built it, they did everything, they like decorated it. It was amazing. The students that were at home, they did the same thing. They did decoration. This student used like a quote from Star Wars. That's how you get extra credit. He did a quote from Star Wars. He knows me. So at this point, I took the idea of playing math playing with my daughter, and now I implemented with my students. We did geometry check, pre-cal check, and cal check. So at this point, here's what I noticed. So now I try my idea of math play at the high school level. I noticed very, very high levels of engagement across like all my classes. All the students are like, okay, like this is fun. Let's do it. I also noticed that the students were like, there was perseverance. Like if they didn't get something, they wouldn't say like, oh, Mr. Valencia, like clearly I don't know how to do this. You're a bad teacher. Show me how to do this. No, they will like stay with the problem. They also started like going to like one another, right? Like activating each other as like resources. So they will go, oh, like, how did you figure this out? How do you put the picture? The best tech people you could have is your own students. Like they will like figure things out. They will help one another. And the other thing that I noticed was like students really started taking ownership. Students in geometry, they will take pictures of something that was like important to them. Students in pre-cal, they did the circles, the Pringles, and they were extremely happy. And then the students in cal were even like decorating their boxes. So I noticed high levels of engagement. Students were persevering, like staying with the problem, trying to figure it out. And there was like ownership over the material. Okay. So at this point, I know when I get excited, I talk too fast. So I put the slide in here for a reason. I want to pause at this point. I want to know if like at this point, what question do you have at this point? By the way, I want to get a shout out to an amazing Mad Jedi teacher, Miss Kate played at Horace Greeley High School. I used to say like, do you have any questions? But now because of her, I said, what questions do you have at this point? So at this point, I'm going to open the chat and I want to know if anybody, does anybody have any questions? Like what questions do you have at this point? Does anybody have any questions? I don't see, I'll pause for a second. I don't see any questions. Am I looking at the right thing? I did not create the optimization. It was a courtesy of Vincent. His Twitter handle is there. I'm gonna give you the presentation as a PDF so you can connect. I did not create it myself. The original file was in I had to translate it to English, but it will be included on the presentation. Oh, I've read many, many, many books. There's like too many. I actually, there was a tweet that where I posted like some of the books that I've read. This was like during the summer, some mad books. So that might be helpful. How am I choosing the activities? So the question is, how am I choosing the activities and problems? It's really, I'm not trying to do anything too different. I'm trying to like take the lesson that I already have for geometry or the lesson that I already have for optimization, and then trying to adapt that in a way that it will facilitate math play for the students so that they can take some ownership over their learning. How often? Oh, this is a great question. I actually want to talk about this. So this is not something that I do like every day, of course. What I try to do is I try to implement a lesson of math play at least like once within every chapter, once within every unit. The question was like, how often do you do this? Did you find good transferability from play to problem solving more traditional formats? So what I noticed was that the students were way more engaged than if you gave them like a regular worksheet or a regular activity. And also they were more willing to like stay with the problem. Like if something wasn't working, they would like stay and try to figure out themselves. All right. So I'm glad I stopped. There will be another opportunity for me to like answer questions. All right. So at this point, I try math play with my students. I know it works. I know they're engaged. So at this point, I go into math play, what I call math play 2.0. So this year, In my pre-calc class, we were learning polar coordinates, which is a common topic in pre-calc, sometimes algebra too. So I decided to play a game of Battleship with them. So for that, we use GeoGebra applet. GeoGebra is like the best for these things. So I use a GeoGebra applet. I got it from Daniel. So in this GeoGebra applet, students get like multiple, they have to use like polar coordinates to figure out to hit the boat. This was extremely engaging for the students. They were like, they went outside, they were like staying in the room, and they were like so competitive. So this was a lot of fun. And instead, like, I could have given them, I don't know, like a worksheet or some practice where they were plotting, I don't know, 10 points, 20 points. They probably did like over 100 points, like in polar coordinates, just by playing this game. And they were extremely engaged. Then we started like timing each other, like, oh, who can get like the most in like within 1 minute? Who can do the most within like 10 seconds? So it was fun. They had a fantastic time. I had a fantastic time watching them. And it was like, oh, another thing that is worth mentioning is like, anytime I use like GeoGebra or Desmos, the technology comes very natural for students. So it's always, as a teacher, like, I'm a little hesitant, like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? But I will rather try it and like find out whether it's going to work or it's not going to work. And then the students are usually fantastic at figuring out things. So the Battleship was like a winner. This was like very good. Another thing that I tried, this was actually last year. We had just finished our unit on rational functions. And then I decided to give my students a Desmos R project. So these are some of the instructions. I try to keep them like very, like, I was trying to be very flexible. I said, okay, so like incorporate at least 8 different types of functions. You're not limited to the number of equations. I didn't want them to feel limited. Like, oh, you have to do this functions, this number of equations. I said, make sure you have some like domain and range restrictions. I was afraid that, okay, like, how is this going to work? Like, is it going to be too hard? Is it going to be too easy? Are they going to just, like, do something, I don't know, like, something, like, very simple? Or are they going to, like, actually run with the project? So there are a lot of Desmos projects online. So what I decided to do was, I teach at Horace Greeley High School in Chappaqua, New York. So what I decided to do was, like, our very first Desmos R project was based on, like, our school. I said, oh, you know what? Let's do, like, school spirit. It could be something, like, from our school, from, like, the elementary, from the middle school. So something, like, related to us. So that way, it was, like, harder for the students to, like, find something that was already done. It was something that meant something for, like, us, right? For students in Chappaqua. So these were some of their projects. Now, when I tell you that I was blown away by the work, that's like an understatement. I asked students to do like at least 8 functions. So I was expecting, all right, they're going to do like, I don't know, 12 functions, 15 functions, or 15 equations, 20 equations. Some of the work that I got, it was unbelievable. Some students submitted like 80 equations or like 90 equations. I was like, why would you do that? That's so many of them. But it was because like they took like pride on their work, right? This is a picture of actually like Horace Greeley. And there were like so many equations on that thing. They were like domain restrictions, range restrictions. There were like all types of different functions. Even things that I didn't expect them to do, they did. Here are a few other samples. And again, this was like Horace Greeley, Chappaqua related. So it was a Desmos R project based on our school. So it was amazing. It was unbelievable. The students were like posting it on their social media. They were sharing it with one another. It was fun. So then, so we did this. And then later on, we're doing a section on conic sections. So then the students say, Mr. Valencia, why don't we do another like Desmos R project? Now, at this point, I know they're gonna do it. They're gonna do a good job. Now I'm like, okay, yes, let's do it. So I run with them. So this time I said, okay, what do you guys want to do? I said, why don't we do it about like our favorite movie or our favorite book? Once again, the work that they did was unbelievable. Like I was like, oh my goodness, this is, and they did so much more than I anticipated. Like I couldn't give them a worksheet where they were going to do all these functions and all this like domain and range restrictions. Since it was like something that they wanted to do, it was like their favorite movie, their favorite Disney character. It meant like a lot to them. So like the work that they did was beautiful. Here are a couple of examples. It was really nice. And of course, like towards the end of the school year, they said, Mr. Valencia, we should have a final Desmos art project, to which I agreed, right? Like, at that point, what am I going to do? I said, yes, of course, let's do another Desmos art project. And it was just, like, unbelievable. They did a lot more than that I anticipated, and it was beautiful. And not only is it, like, pretty and it's nice and they're using technology, but the math that went behind this was, like, absolutely amazing. It was beautiful. It was nice. And they got to practice a lot of math concepts that I don't know how they will get to practice, like, all of these equations within a worksheet, right? The fact that we have this technology, it's a great advantage. And like I said, our students are very comfortable with the technology. It's like at their fingertips. Like, there are within this project, there were things that I didn't know about Desmos. I was afraid. I was like, should I do this? Should I not do this? But, like, as we started working and students started to have questions, they started helping one another. They were like, Mr. Rollins, how do I change the color? I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, I don't know. Let me try. And then we were like, troubleshoot. But, like, by the time they were experts and they were like, oh, Mr. Rollins, you know, you could do this on Desmos. And I will be like, oh, I'll be like happy. And I'll be like sharing that with other people. So the Desmos art project was fantastic, was great. Again, in terms of the instructions, I tried to keep it, like, very flexible so that the students will actually, like, come up with more. I didn't want them to feel like, oh, you have to do just trigonometric equations. You just have to do exponential functions. I said, like, okay, use, like, 8 different types of functions. There are no restrictions on the number of equations. And this was really, like, a winner. All right, so the Desmos art project is something that I will highly, highly, highly recommend. Okay, so another thing that was very positive with my Cal class last year, I read the book of Thinking Classroom, and some of the problems that are there are fantastic. Like, these problems are great for students to, like, work together and grapple with the problem. Now, as a teacher, I'm gonna be honest, it's hard to see them struggle and not help them. Like, it's hard to walk away and they have a question and just walk away. It's kind of mean, but it's good for them, right? Because, like, they struggle and then they figure it out so they don't forget. They will say, like, Mr. Valencia, why can't you just tell me? And I will say, like, if I tell you, you're gonna forget. Like, you might forget, but if you discover it, then that's, like, you won't forget it never. Okay, so, like, we did this problem. This is, like, the Keurig problem. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's really good. We did it in class. The students had a great time. They were highly engaged. This was during, like, our COVID, of course, and there was at the time we were hybrid. So some of the students were at home, some of the students were in person. I don't know if you could see it, but in the picture of the upper left, we had a student in class collaborating with a student, like, with her best friend that was at home. So it was beautiful. It was nice. There was, like, a sense of community. They were working together. We, like, went outside of classroom, took over, like, the hallways, and then we started working on this problem. So this was actually a lot of fun for the students. It was a lot of fun to watch. Students were highly engaged. And it was just an overall, like, positive experience. So at this point, here's what I learned. Here's what I noticed. So at this point, like, we're doing, like, Math Play 2.0. I noticed that the students will usually do more than it is required, which was the same thing that happened with my daughter earlier. Like, she will do more than I expected, and that made me really happy. So the same thing happened with my students. They will go, like, the extra 10 miles, right? Because they will do way more than I expected. There was also, once again, the component of, like, ownership over the material. Like, a student did SpongeBob, and he wanted that picture to be perfect, and it was. And there was also a sense of, like, community building, where students trying to, like, they were, like, helping one another. They were like, oh, let me see your project. What did you do? I'm doing this. I'm doing Patrick. I'm doing SpongeBob. So it was, like, it was really positive overall. The students definitely did more than required. There was, like, ownership over the material, and there was, like, community building. Not all, it was beautiful to see that some of the students from, like my course one pre-calc were, like, talk and discuss the project with, like, the other students from, like, course 5 and course 7. So it was very nice. All right. So as I'm a teacher, just like you, I have the same problems, the same issues. So I want to be completely honest and completely transparent with everyone here tonight. So in full disclosure, Math Play is not something that I do every day. I wish I did it every day. It's not something that I'm able to do in every topic. I'm thinking, like, if I'm teaching implicit differentiation, it might be hard to, like, write, start with Math Play. And it might, like, it doesn't always apply. You might have a class that is not ready, right, to take ownership or to be like leading. So that's completely okay. So I don't want you to feel like, okay, like this is like I'm selling you something. No, like I'm trying to implement more math play in my classroom. I think it's fun. I think the students respond very well to it. I also think that it creates like a very positive atmosphere for math. But this is something that I don't do every day, that I don't do in every topic, and it doesn't always apply, right? Like you might have a class where math play is not an option. So the question is, so with that said, with everything that you've seen tonight up to this point, so should you be facilitating math play? The answer, of course, is yes. You should definitely, absolutely be facilitating math play whenever you have a chance. So in like my journey of like, the, you know, like a teacher and a parent and whatnot, to me, like I started like small, right? Like, where, like, how do you start? So my goal was like, okay, I'm going to try to find an activity, right, that is not too far away from what I already have. And then I'm going to try to like tweak it or implement it or try to like implement some technology where students are going to have an opportunity to math play with the content, where students are going to have some ownership over the material, where students are going to lead the learning, right? They're going to do a project. They're going to take a picture of something that is meaningful to them and then connect it to the mathematics that they're learning. So my goal, like my advice to you is, I would say like start by trying it at least one per unit of study, or like once per cycle, or once per chapter. You might want to start with like a smaller class, something that you're comfortable. Anything that I find helpful, there's a 99.99% chance that I will share on Twitter. So like anything that like works for me, I am willing to share. I'm going to put it on Twitter and then you can see it. I hope that you can implement it or it can inspire some other ideas. All right, so at this point, I know like I speak fast, especially when I get excited. But at this point, what questions do you have? I'm going to open the chat. And at this point, what questions do you have? And oh, I see that. Any questions? What was the question again? I'm sorry. Do you think? Like what I noticed with my daughter is that like playing with things, right? It was very natural. So that's why I try to implement it at the high school level, which is not easy to do. But I think that when there's like hands-on activities, it's like it's more meaningful. It's more like real world application. It becomes like more concrete. Like students, it's not the mathematics is no longer like an abstract thing that you're learning. It's more like, okay, like we're playing, we're doing something. There's also like a sense of like, there is a purpose. We're trying to figure this out. I'm trying to like prove that this is a right triangle. I'm trying to come up with a Desmos art project. So I think, yes, I think that our students need that, and it is our job, or like we should try at least to like implement it as much as possible. I know as a teacher, just like you, that it's hard. You're restricted by like the curriculum that you have to teach. You might not get support from the department or whatever, but this is your classroom. These are your students. So if you could do something to make it fun and to make not just make it fun while they learn what they need to be learning, I think that should be our goal. Have you tried using math play in algebra? I haven't taught algebra in the past, I don't know, a few years, but it's something that, oh yes, definitely I would love to implement. Have you had any pushback that you are asking them to play with toys? No, not really. Janet, no, not really. Where the my school, Horace Greeley High School, they have been nothing but supportive, both like the department, the administration, they support my crazy ideas. So I'm very thankful. I think in that sense, I'm lucky, I'm blessed that I get to do these things and the students run with it. The students like will go and buy Pringles themselves and have them ready. And I will send them an email and advice like, okay, make sure you have Pringles for next class. You're going to need them. And they will have them. I think the other thing is that you have to build that rapport with your students, that connection, because if that's lacked, then the students are not going to say, okay, no, I'm not going to get Pringles for you. But if you have that connection with the students, they will do what they need to do. Yes. Great to see. Okay. What sort of math play might support struggling 8, 9 grade students, especially with functions, systems, and other very fun abstract ideas? So I can't think, verily, I can't think of something off the top of my head, but if we connect via Twitter, if I come across something, if I think of something, I'll be more than willing to share. Again, I haven't thought, like, my experience is more like high school, and I've been teaching mostly like 10, 11, and 12. But I'm sure it's possible to do it in algebra and the middle school level. So if I come across something, I'll be happy to share. Okay. So at this point, I'm going to go on. We'll hopefully have more time at the end for more questions. And then, at this point, I wanted to share some other ideas that I found helpful and that usually increase student engagement in all my classes and can also lead to math play. Regardless of the class that you're teaching, regardless of the level, like these ideas are like legit, like they are the real thing. So one idea is using math memes. I think that the Master Jedi of memes is Howie. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should like open a Twitter account and follow him just for the memes. I don't think these are his. He's just like an inspiration. He could make a meme out of anything, and they are fantastic. They're extremely, extremely funny. And like, if you think about it, memes are like applied math, right? Because you have to understand the math to like laugh at the meme. I think this is one that I made with one of my geometry classes last year. They were all big Star Wars fan. Like I said, who doesn't like Star Wars? And so like you having math memes in the lesson, it makes the lesson fun. It's engaging. It's something that students remember. And it doesn't, like, usually what I do is I take the presentation that I already have, and then I find something related to, like, for example, Paralines. Paralines have so much in common. It's a shame they'll never, so I'll put that in the presentation, and then the students remember it, right? And it's, like, fun. Another great idea that I've been using lately is using Same But Different, the routine, especially, like, at the beginning of class by Dr. Looney. This is also, like, a fantastic way to, like, get students to talk, get students to like share. And sometimes it actually leads into math. Like you can actually also ask students to come up with their own, like, okay, make up your own like Same But Different within the topic that you're doing. So it's not exactly like the math play that we discussed before, but it can lead to math play. It also has the component of like student ownership and student engagement. So Same But Different is also very helpful. I found very helpful in across all the classes that I'm teaching. Visual patterns. This saved my life last year, because last year when we were remote at the beginning of the school year, I had like a morning class, and like it was so hard to get them like engaged, to get them to talk, because it was early and they were remote. Now I'm not saying that the students, like their cameras were on and they were like taking notes, but it was like very passive. And that's not like, clearly that's not my style. So what I started doing is like starting class with like, okay, here is a visual pattern. What will step four look like? So for the students that were at home, they were like drawing a piece of paper, bring it to the camera. And then for the students that were in class, I will like walk around and see it. You could also ask the students to come up with their own patterns, right? To exchange it. Like, okay, like you guys come up with a pattern, and then the older group is going to figure out the next step. This could be, for the person that asked me about functions, right? This could be a great thing to lead into functions, patterns, see what's happening. So visual patterns, highly recommended. The other thing that I have in here, it's of course, which one does not belong. We started today's presentation with which one does not belong. I like, so on their website, they have many, many, many amazing resources. If you use the hashtag WODB. You could also find older things. I like some of the ones that I use are from like using like my daughter's toys, the Legos, anything that we have. So it's also fun. This is Which One Does Not Belong is probably one of the best and like not probably one of the most effective ways to start class if you want the students to participate. The beauty, if you're not familiar with it, the beauty is that you're presented with four choices, and then there is an argument can actually be made for each one of the choices, which makes it very safe for students to share in math class. So this is fantastic. I think it could also be used beyond math, but I use it in my math class all the time. The students like it. They love it. If you can relate it to Star Wars, it's even better. But if not, it's okay. All right. So I think the last thing. Oh, so let's. If you do any, like I said, any math play ideas that I have, I will definitely be sharing on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @MrValencia24. I also have a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel is more for like math, like tech tools that I found helpful or like short tutorials on different things. So you could check that out if you want. And please, if you do any math play with your students, if you find some of these ideas inspiring and you want to try them, like tag me on it or use the hashtag math play. Anything that I've done, if you look at, click on the hashtag math play, you can see like all the things that I've posted. And if you do something, please like share it so like we can all use it. We can all learn from it. All right. So as we finish up, I want you to think about this question for a second. So what if math class was every kid's favorite class? I'll let you like think about that for 30 seconds. You know how like a lot of people don't like math? We need to change that. So what if math class was every kid's favorite class? I'm gonna be honest, like this is my dream. This is my dream, and I think that this is the right time. Like I feel that we're the ones, right? Like we are the teachers that could make this happen. I think that one great advantage that we have nowadays is technology. I feel that technology can really make a difference because the technology comes very natural for students. So like, I'm not saying like use technology instead of teachers. No, like let's harness the power of like the technology to make math class like fun for students, right? And I'm not saying just like make it fun, right? Like, oh, just do like fun things and projects. Like, no, make it fun while they learn the material, while they learn the content. Like I'm passionate about math and I'm passionate about teaching. So to me, I think that there is no reason whatsoever why math class shouldn't be every kid's favorite class. And then the last thing that I want to say is thank you so much for being here. I really hope I didn't speak too fast. When I get excited, I talk too fast. And then at this point, if you have any questions that you want to ask me, this will be a good time. I'm going to scroll down. If anybody, Lee, if you see any questions, if you had any questions, let me know. I don't see anything.
I don't see any new questions, just some resources that were shared by Ma Bernadette, the cultural games from around the world. Yes. So I definitely think hopefully people will check that out. Looks like she might have posted two separate links there, or maybe they're related.
Thank you so much. I'm not on LinkedIn. I'm just on Twitter. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like 2 years ago, I had no social media whatsoever. I opened a Twitter account. Thanks to Dr. Tony Sinanis. And it was. I mean, opening a Twitter account has been extremely helpful. I found like I've connected with so many amazing people and I found so many inspiring ideas that I'm bringing back to the classroom and are making a difference. So I don't have like besides Twitter, I don't have anything else. You're very welcome, Juan. Can you suggest some good children people to follow? Yes. Let me actually put the presentation as a handout so you can see in there. So I'm going to right now share the presentation as a handout, I believe, as a PDF. I think I'm doing that. I don't know. Do you see it? I don't know if I can. Oh, it says it's saving. Okay. So I just put the presentation as a PDF on the handouts. Lee, can you confirm that is there?
Yes, it is there. I can see perfect. It's there. Okay. And they can preview it. They can download it.
Yep. Oh, excellent. Excellent. So in there, I have two great people, GeoGebra people. I think Rob Pontecarvo also, Tim Brzezinski, Steve Phelps. Those are the ones that come off the top of my head. If you ask me like via Twitter, then I'll like give you a good list, because then I'll just go through like the people that I follow. Play with numbers. Thank you, Andy, for sharing that. Jennifer, you're very welcome. Bernadette, thank you. Thank you for coming. Lynn, okay. Excellent. Oh, yes. On my Twitter account, I have a blog as well. Yep. So if you go on my Twitter account and you click in here, I have a blog where I've shared some ideas, some things that I found helpful, some things that I found helpful like with my daughter, with my students. So feel free to check that out. Math, everyone's favorite subject. Yes, we can be the ones to make this happen. Yes, Rob. Oh, thank you, Josh. Alice, you're very welcome. Lee, did you see any other questions?
I did not see any other questions, but I mean, I was thinking about, you know, what if math class was kids' favorite class? I mean, I think it would change the world.
Yes, yes. Isn't that like, we are going to be the ones. We can make this happen. We have the technology that nobody else had. So we can make this happen.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, thank you very much for presenting, Lebo. Oh gosh, now I can't find where I put who's on for 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks. Yes, I found it now. 2 weeks from now, we're going to be hearing from Paul Battaglia on learning targets, how clarity drives understanding. And that is another grades 9 through 12 session. If you know of any educators that would be good at presenting for the middle school or the elementary school level, or even just K-12 and broadening our level of presentations, that would be wonderful. You can definitely tweet us. We are on Twitter at Global Math Department, or you can send an email to us as well. We have an email address, globalmathdepartment@gmail.com. So I thank you very much, Lebo, for presenting tonight. Thank everyone for sticking around and being here. Yeah, yeah.
My pleasure. I'm happy to give back a little bit. I've learned so much from the Global Math Department over like this past year, like since the pandemic. And I'm just thankful to be able to like share the little bit that has worked for me. I'm not an expert on anything. So I'm happy to share like the things that have worked for me. And like our goal is to like, remember, make math class every kid's favorite class.
I like that. Feels like it should be a tagline of, I don't know, some new documentary or something.
There you go, yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Lebo.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being here tonight.